In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 50, or 51 in a Protestant Bible, is certainly the most frequently repeated psalm we have in the Orthodox Church. And it's a psalm of repentance. And I'm going to preach a series of sermons on that psalm. It's not a short psalm, so it can't fit into one. It's going to be probably quite a few. But the psalm has an inscription that tells you the backstory of the psalm, which is when David fell into adultery with Bathsheba and then fell into the sin of murder of her husband. And so I want to talk about the backstory before we get into the psalm itself. Scripture tells us that King David was a man after God's own heart, and he's also called the sweet psalmist of Israel. And yet he fell into adultery and then into murder. And even though the saints are holy people, the saints are also men. And when you read the lives of saints, you sometimes see that they fell into sins that we might be able to imagine ourselves falling into. And these examples from their lives are lessons for us. And so we should ask ourselves, how did it happen that a man after God's own heart fell into such serious sins? Like most falls, it started off small. David didn't just wake up one day and decide to commit adultery and murder. He probably had no idea that that's where these things would lead to. But these big sins began with small temptations that he gave into. In 2 Samuel, or 2 Kingdoms in the Orthodox Study Bible, chapter 11, it begins with, "And it came to pass in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." So Joab was the chief general of the Israelite army. And David had been a man of war all of his life. And when you read about him, he's constantly going to war against one entity or another and coming out victorious. But he lived a very difficult life as a result of that. But here, we don't know exactly how old he was at this point, but he was probably in his early 50s. And maybe he was even being urged by his generals, because we have other examples of this in the life of King David in Scripture, that they were concerned about him, because they knew if we lose King David, we lose more than one man, so we've got to protect him. And in that culture, most people didn't live much past 50, and so when you got to be that old, you were thought to be an old man. So anyway, he stays back in Jerusalem, but the Scripture tells us this was the time when kings go forth into battle. This is when he should have been out in the field leading his men, but instead he was staying back in Jerusalem. And another thing I would just observe in passing is that if you read the life of King David in the Scriptures, you'll notice that up until this point in his life, it's almost all good in terms of how it depicts David. He's a virtuous man. He's courageous. He goes from one triumph to another. After this point, after he falls into sin, even though he repents and even though God forgives him, there's a lot of consequences that reverberate throughout the rest of his life that he doesn't quite see the end of until he lays down his life in death. Had he decided to make this time that he had on his hand available for good purpose, you know, had he thought about, okay, well, now I'm not going to battle, so what can I do that would occupy my time and be a good thing, maybe he wouldn't have fallen into this sin. But he was idle. He had lived a very difficult life in the past, but now he was taking it easy. And so he didn't have anything to do. He was also pampering himself, living the life of the palace. And perhaps his past life of virtue had given him a false sense of security that he didn't really have anything to worry about. So on the path to adultery and murder, it began with simple idleness, living at ease and failing to be watchful rather than directing himself at doing good. And then it says, "And it came to pass one evening that David arose from off his bed And he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned into her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." Idleness presented the opportunity for the sin. Failure to be watchful set him up for it. But then he entertained the temptation when it was presented, and he fell headlong into the sin. But now he was faced with the problem of a pregnancy that couldn't be hidden. Up until this point, he probably thought that no one would be the wiser. But now he's got this problem because he can't hide this pregnancy, so he then concocts a plot to cover it all up. And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David, and when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a gift of food from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord, and went not down to his house. David was sure that if Uriah had the opportunity, that he would take it to go home and to sleep with his wife and enjoy some comfort. And then when the pregnancy became known, he would be none the wiser. However, Uriah, David's loyal servant, was a more virtuous man than that. And when they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down into his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down into thine house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go down into my house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." Unlike what David had done, Uriah refused to take life easy while the affairs of the kingdom were in the balance and while his comrades were suffering on the battlefield and dying. And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today and also tomorrow, and I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow, and when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at the evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, of his Lord, but went not down to his house. So David wined and dined him that night, made sure that he had too much to drink, but he still didn't do as David had hoped. So now David begins to plot an even more evil plan. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah at the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew and that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David the things concerning the war. So here he sends this message with this loyal servant of his, saying, put him in the heat of the battle and let him die. I'm sure that when David woke up from his bed before he fell into sin with Bathsheba, that it never would have darkened his mind that he would do such a thing to a loyal servant. But now, out of fear of being discovered, he's willing to go to these great lengths. And when he gets word that Uriah the Hittite was dead, he says, "Thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, For the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David did displeased the Lord. The prophet king was a noble and a virtuous man for most of his life. But by failing to be careful about small things, he fell into great evil. And he probably thought that he had gotten away with it all, but God wasn't fooled, and I'm sure that his conscience bothered him. But probably he was able to rationalize it in his mind and saying that this was for the good of the kingdom. The wisdom of Sirach tells us, he who despises small things will fall little by little. When you don't take care of the small things, that's when you fall into the big things. The good news is that God didn't allow David to get away with it and to lose his soul. God confronted him, and we'll talk about that next Sunday. But the lesson that we need to take from this is that when it's time to go forth for spiritual battle, we need to be doing that and not being idle, not pampering ourselves, not taking the easy way, not failing to be watchful. As St. Paul tells us, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Amen.